Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text next step to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome to another fun-filled episode of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. My name is Amin Ohassan. I'm joined, as always, by Big Jerv and Black Trey. Fun show for you guys today. We're going to review the last few episodes of Michael Che's That Damn Che Show, the best show you probably never heard of. We're also, P-Valley is back, coming out on Sundays, Saturday nights, if you got the app, so Our review of episode 2. And man, this shit is garbage. we also got to talk about something that happened that was funny at Britney Spears' wedding. Before we get to that, though, www.patreon.com/countthedings. That's the website where you sign up to be a Patreon. You get all the exclusive content that's available to our Patreons, like the Bomb Overflow episodes, like the watch-alongs for the NBA Finals, for the movies that we've done, like the Discord, like all the other good stuff. Make sure you are subscribed to the Patreon account. Make sure you're not missing out on any of this stuff. If you are already subscribed, boom, thank you very much, and go peer pressure somebody to do the same. All right, so Britney Spears got married. I don't know who she got married to, but I do know that someone that she used to be married to showed up at the wedding, crashed the wedding. I don't know why. My man had to get tackled by security. And I thought to myself, in the movies, this shit happens all the time. But I don't think I've ever witnessed anything like that happen in real life, anything crazy at a wedding. So I wanted to open it up and say, Jerv, Trey, have you ever witnessed something crazy happen at a wedding?
I mean, I've seen people I can tell that are jealous and shit like that, like try to like sabotage, or what I would perceive as being jealous and trying to sabotage weddings.
How?
Sabotage how? I mean, I've seen everything from bridesmaids be just bitches. I had to spell that.
That's right. Why are you spelling it? Is your kid in the room? Just
get fucking No. I don't know. It's 2022, bro. I don't know if we're supposed to say that anymore. But yeah, I've seen that. And I've seen best men. Oh, yeah, bro. I mean, I can tell the story now. Like, it's all good. Bullshit and caring if he does. I mean, I don't give a fuck. He shouldn't have did the shit. My one of my good homies that I've known since fifth grade got married. And his twin brother was literally always, like, you know how when there's twins?
Yeah.
There's
competing.
Yeah. Not even that they're competing, but there's one that's better athletically. And then there's one that probably gets more girls and, you know, all that type shit. So the one that was the more athletic one, you know, went to college on the on a football scholarship, you know, all D1, all that shit, you know, in high school, I would say got the more popular girls, got the better looking girls all throughout life. And then when it was time for that wedding time, little bro did all right for himself. In fact, little bro did all right. I was proud of him. So, you know, I saw the best man wait until like a couple hours before the wedding to go get the haircut.
The best man is the twin brother, right?
The best man is the twin brother, and the best man is the one that was the more popular one in high school and all, you know, athletic and all that. I saw him wait, you know, if the wedding was at 2 p.m, he might have went to the barbershop at like 11 to go get his cut, or like 10 or some shit like that, knowing that we had to be there at like 11 for the pictures, and the best man is the one that least needs to be there for the pictures because there's some ceremonial best man type pictures apparently that are taken, right? Ball like to the point where he had to get a suit, all that shit. And I'll tell you that it got to the point where we were contemplating whether the show was just going to have to go on. Because if the limos was there to pick up everyone, you know, that was in the wedding at 1 p.m. for like a 1:30 start, we probably gave ball to like 1:15, and he might have pulled up at like 1:16 type situation. Oh, wow. And then had the audacity to get on the shuttle or the limo or whatever and be like, "What's up, y'all? Everybody good?" It's just like, "Yo, come on, talk." Yeah, I mean, and this.
So
is
he
the
was
shit.
Jealous. He was jealous that like it wasn't his day, like his.
I mean, he'll never admit that shit. But I've known him since fifth grade. Like I can fucking tell, right? Like, like you know what I'm saying? Like I've watched your whole lives, and I know that this is the one time where he's got the limelight over you, and this is how you're acting. You know what I'm saying? I gotta call a spade, bro. And you know, I mean, you're a little jealous.
That's funny. Trey, you got anything crazy you ever seen at a wedding?
No, I haven't been any. I mean, everybody's been kind of cool at weddings. You know what I mean? I've probably been to too many. I'm probably over it after this. But
this is the last wedding you're. Hold on, this is the last wedding you're going to go to?
Yeah, because, like, I mean, you know, I'm at that age where all my friends are obviously tying the knot, but, like, it's still a point of, like, bro, like, it gets to a, you know, you traveling across the world and, like, trying to be there. And, you know, I've probably been to, like, 25 in the past 3 years.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
25?
Yeah, love is in the 25? Air, bro. It's been going
crazy. Hold up, bro. Yo, you be joking on me for all the weddings I be at, but you over here fucking Hall of Fame numbers.
Oh, that's 8 weddings a year, and 2 of them years been in the pandemic.
Yeah, it's been crazy. But, man, love is love. Everybody's finding their partners. And I guess I'm not at the weird age group, too, around, like, 33 to 40, where everybody's just kind of, like, tapping out, just hanging their jersey up.
25. Hold on.
That's a lot.
I'm getting a headache thinking of, I don't think I've been in 25 weddings in my life. I think I've been like 5, maybe 6. Man.
It's crazy because, like, I'd be like, why invite me? Some of them have been catching me like off guard. Like, I'm like, because you know, like, think about it. You'd be like, you invite me to your wedding?
Like, we're not that cool, right?
Yeah, you don't know, because you think about, like, when you go to invite some, because, you know, wedding lists are small, bro.
Yeah,
like, everybody don't get that. Everybody don't get to go, like, you know what I mean? So when you, like, start beating out family members or first cousins, I'm like, damn, I start to feel important. But then when you start thinking about, like, travel and where you got to go, or it creeps up, and it's like, damn, I do got to go to this wedding. And then sometimes they're just, like, back to back to back to back if it's, like, in the summer.
Trey, you know why everybody invites you, bro. You bring the you bring the the eloquence. What's the eloquent? What the hell's the word?
Elegant.
Thank you. You know what I'm saying? You bring the class. You bring the class, Trey. Like, come on, bro.
Yeah. Let me just say right now, I don't even know if we need to boss it over this or not. But Trey had on his stories the other day, somebody, like a picture of this dude, I guess he works with or not. And this dude was dressed, and I sent Trey a message that this is the anti-Jerv. Like, this dude was the opposite of Jerv in every way.
Wait, is that the same post that I commented on?
I think so. It was funny. Yeah. Yes, it was. It was the one. But yeah, like my boy, he's like super creative, man. Like one of the most talented graphic designers ever. But it just got a unique style. It's from Delaware, actually. It's so funny. Shit. Yeah,
That's the little Uzi Vert era right there, bro. No shots, no shade. That's just not my timeline right there.
Yeah, no, he's like really one of the nicest people ever, bro. Like I really rock with, bro. So like, yeah, no, to talk about this wedding, my boy. It was beautiful. Obviously it's hot. Like you gotta think that all the way through. It's 102 degrees. I didn't have a seersucker, which would have came in handy. For the heat. You're familiar with that, Jerv, right?
Bruh, I'm actually shocked that you didn't. Like you strike me as the individual that checks the weather and comes perfectly prepared. I would have had a seersucker suit on.
Well, the thing is I have to get resized. You know, I gained a bunch of weight in the pandemic, so I can't just be like, throw, you know what I mean? Throw it on the old one I had. So like, it's been a minute. So I just, you know, I'm a vet in the game. I told you, I mean, I've been to like so many weddings to a point where now I'm going to Men's Warehouse. I get fitted and then I send it. I basically pick up at the location of the city that I'm having the wedding at and just do it that way. So I don't have to travel with the suit.
Nice. That's a good deal. That's a good technique.
Oh yeah, no, it works, man. It's less stress, you know. You just drop it off. But to fast forward about this wedding, beautiful wedding, my first Jewish wedding too. So that was never been to one.
Did they step on the glass and everything?
They stepped on the glass. They did the
chair dance.
We did that. My arms are sore as hell for like picking up, you know, the chair and stuff that with the homies. We circled them and danced and stuff like that. But cool thing was Eve was the bridesmaid, the rapper.
Say what now?
Eve, the rapper, was the bridesmaid.
Pitbull in a skirt?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Woo. So it was so random. got a chance to meet her and her husband. But towards the toast at the end, she performs.
No way.
She performed.
What did she do? Love is Blind?
She. that's a terrible song. That's a terrible song. But no, it's a great song, but a terrible song to perform.
That's a terrible wedding song.
She did Who? She did Let Me Blow Your Mind. She did Who's That Girl? Yeah. And I wanted, you know, I was being funny. I seen her this morning because they actually had like a brunch like the following, and I wanted to start rapping one of the songs from Volume 1, Ride or Die. Like, man, you didn't perform that, but it was like, I don't know how cool or annoyed she would probably be, so I just kind of left it alone. But yeah, overall,
maybe not.
Yeah, see, but it was a beautiful wedding and stuff like that. But it's getting to that point where cats is just getting old, man. My friend group is really just hanging it up. You know what I'm saying? It's only two guys left. It's me and Nick DePaula left, man. From my group that's not married.
Trey, is Eve as a bridesmaid the most surprising member of a bridal party you've ever seen in your 25 weddings in the last your prolific wedding career?
Man, that's a good question.
Wow, you have to think about that. Wow.
Who were the other candidates?
Shit.
Because that's only happened once where I went and I was like, oh, shit. I went to Chris Bianco, the restaurateur here in Phoenix. He owns Pizzeria Bianco. He got married. I went to his wedding. and I was late to the ceremony. So it was at this big cathedral downtown Phoenix. So I sneak in the back and I sit down, and you know, like they already then started the ceremony, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know, trying to get my bearings, and I look up at the wedding party, and I'm like, is that Jimmy Kimmel? Jimmy Kimmel was one of the groomsmen. I was like, oh shit. And apparently him and Chris go way back or whatever. But that's the only time I've ever been surprised like that. Like, I was like, is that Eve? That shit would surprise me too. Jerv, have you ever seen a surprise in the bridal party or the groom's party or whatever?
No, I'm not in those circles like you gentlemen. You know what I'm saying? It's just regular people.
I thought Oshino and Sparks might have been like groomsmen at a wedding that you said.
That would be sick. That would be sick, by the way.
That actually would be kind of crazy.
But yeah, I mean, I think Eve is probably like takes the cake, bro.
You can't be Eve, because it's like, because she's not even visible anymore, right? Like, it's been so long.
Apparently, she had a show. Apparently, she has a show with Cameron and I guess Brandy and other people, but I don't remember it, and I really wasn't like.
She's on a daytime show. She was on them daytime, like the real type Jones, I thought.
No, she's
like one. Also, she's in the UK too, dog. So like, again, you're not gonna see her. She's not really visible like that. So like, to just even just pull up, I was just kind of.
Oh wow!
Yeah, bro. Like, I'm surprised she still goes by Eve.
She's a co-host on the CBS daytime talk show, The Talk. In 2021, she starred in the American TV series Queens.
Yeah, Queens is her show.
Yeah,
and she got. She, oh, wow.
That's not Eve the rapper anymore. She's the star.
Yeah, I haven't peeped it, but I heard it was good.
I mean, I thought she just kind of disappeared.
Yeah, I mean, she disappeared off of our radar. Oh yeah, she did. That she does not have to work. No, she does not have to work. Bull's a billionaire, right?
Yeah. Isn't the guy who created Reddit?
You know what? Shout out to him too. Nah, Gumball 3000. He was cool, man. I met bro last night.
What the fuck is Gumball 3000?
Google it. You'll see.
What the Google fuck? It. Just tell me.
Nah, he owns like all the cars and stuff. I know, like, you know, like the DuPont stuff.
Gumball 3000. What the fuck? All right. Well, shit. I guess so. I guess I have to look it up or whatever.
I mean, because I don't technically have the correct answer for you. That's the reason why.
You don't know, nigga. You don't know what that shit is.
No,
either.
I just know it's cars, bro. But like, I don't want to be
it's
wrong.
It's cars.
Yeah, like he.
Oh,
like,
I didn't think that at all.
Like, it's like a race league type thing. I think it's like a premier race league.
Oh, word.
It's a celebrity motor rally which takes place on public roads. How does that shit? How do you get rich off of that shit?
I have no idea, but that's the only reason why I know, bro.
Niggas been getting arrested for racing on the street for years. My man's over here becoming a billionaire off of it. That's wild.
Complexion for the protection. Shout out, Paul. Yeah. Well, shit. Well, thank you for checking in with us, Trey. I know you out there sweating your ass off in Texas. But we appreciate you joining us and giving us the scoop. All right, there go Trey right there. So, Jerv, it's up to me and you to talk two things. Michael Che or P-Valley? Which one do you want to start with?
Let's give Michael Che the credit he deserves, and let's end with that, because we can end with this shit show that Stars is putting out now. I mean, we can start with the shit show that Stars is putting out.
Let's start with the shit show, bro. All right, so P-Valley, if you like, just joining us, before it was like maybe 2019. It was a show on Stars. It followed events at this small strip club in a small town in Mississippi, and how like there was kind of like a mystery as far as one of these strippers what her background was, and there was there's a company trying to come in and buy up all the land because they want to build a casino. But the people who own the strip club didn't want to sell. And so there's all types of kind of like trying to press them, whatever. It was a decent story, right? Like, it was entertaining. Right, Jerv? Am I correct in season one of P-Valley?
So I'll say watching these episodes has made me think Was it really good, or like was I just in the pandemic and I was just seeing titties and ass on the screen and I was like, oh, this is my lane.
It was. It was better. It was better than what we're getting now. Like what we're getting now, I'm just like, I'm legit blown away, like how terrible this is.
I'm glad you said it, bro, because I thought it was just me. Because when I talked to Trey about it last week, you know, Trey gave the nice respectful review, and I'm sitting, yeah. I'm like, damn, maybe I'm not watching this right. Like I thought this sucked.
I remember you guys were talking last week about how, like, compare and contrast this with Flatbush Misdemeanors. When Flatbush Misdemeanors came out, and their thing was like, we're not going to acknowledge the pandemic. Because how do you acknowledge a pandemic and just make it, instantly your show becomes the pandemic show. And you're just talking about the pandemic the whole time. So they made the decision not to have masks. Let's pretend it didn't happen, right? And I thought it made for a great show. With P-Valley Season 2, we see the opposite of someone trying to write a story that's around the pandemic. And literally, every third word is pandemic, and people complain about masks. So I'm just like, I don't want to watch this.
It's too late.
Yeah, first of all, it's too late. Yeah, we're already back outside. And it's not, but it's not late enough where we have nostalgia about the pandemic. It's like we just got outside, man. I ain't trying to hear all the shit all over again, all these arguments all over again. But the other thing, and I'm pretty sure this didn't happen in season one. And I realize this is a very, there might be three people in the world who are annoyed like me about this. I watch all my shows with the closed caption on. I just, like, I hate rewinding to hear, what did he say or whatever. I watch all the shows with the closed caption on. I've never seen more ghetto ass closed caption than for this show. There's a scene where Uncle Clifford's holding the baby. This is in episode one. Uncle Clifford's holding the baby, and you know, the baby's mother is like, "Oh, you guys, he's so quiet. How'd you get him to be so quiet?" And the dude says he probably put a beer in his bottle. Now I heard what he said, and I thought, "Oh yeah, he said like a beer in the bottle to make the kid go to sleep." But the closed caption said "bure." So what the fuck is a brewer? And then Uncle Clifford said, no, I would never put burr in there. You know, I'll put straight whiskey. And I'm like, did them niggas just misspell beer? And they're doing this for the whole goddamn show. And it's so annoying. Because I don't need you to do that, man. I don't need you to translate fucking Ebonics for me. I got it. I know what they're saying.
Oh, you're beast more with the closed caption people,
yeah,
and not with how they're saying it.
No, not with how they're saying it. Like I think I pronounce things the way they pronounce it. Now I do have a problem with these niggas. This whole thing is scripted like it was written for Twitter. All the Twitter catchphrases. It's the that for me. It's the that. Like keep that same energy. Like all of the Twitter stupid ass shit. Like it's written for Twitter. Both in the dialogue and some of the shit, it's like they're having a tryout for strippers. I'm all for inclusivity. You know, you want to have the party for Uncle Clifford's birthday party. Of course, Uncle Clifford is I believe supposed to be trans or just very gender fluid. Of course, at his surprise birthday party, they're going to have a bunch of people there. That's fine. It makes sense within the story. But you're going to have a tryout for strippers. And there's a bunch of dudes in the tryout for a strip club, for a regular strip club in the South, in small town Mississippi.
And Uncle Clifford just told his homie that they can't be on, they can't work at the paint.
You can't work
because
here.
They ain't going for that shit. And then you got niggas trying out,
including a big fat white dude. Big fat bald head white, and I was just like, what are we doing here? Like, are we just like, are we literally just doing the look at us? We're good people. Look at us. Look how diverse our cast is. Is that what we're doing?
I feel like they've already proven they're diverse, though, right? Like, Uncle Clifford is the main, is one of the main characters in and Lil Murder.
Yeah, Lil Murder. Yeah, absolutely. And let me just get to Uncle Clifford, man. Uncle Clifford last year I thought was like a three-dimensional person. Yes, he's the effeminacy is at a high with him. But like, this is a character who had like his shit together, and like when I had to deal with like these real life money issues, da da da. And now I just feel like it's a catchphrase, dude. Come home, pass out on the couch. Oh, this da da da. Like, I'm like, this, it feels like a caricature, man. Like, all of it feels a lot less complex, a lot thinner of plot and character development, and just let's do this shit, let's do that shit. And then, as if to that wasn't enough, Jerv, we introduce the supernatural. We got ghosts. We got a Ouija board. What do you call it? Oh, the, and I'm just like, no. Stop it. Oh, my man, Diamond doing snapping his fingers, and it's like, oh, it feels like you had 7 pounds on you. That's much weight to pull a trigger. Like, oh my God, it's guilt, it's weighing. I'm like, what are y'all talking about, man? What the fuck was that scene about?
I could, so before I say, it's not in Louisiana, correct? Like, the pink's not in Louisiana.
Oh, Mississippi.
Yeah, so that would make sense. I mean, I guess I can buy the whole voodoo shit because you're in that area. By the way, I'm not disrespecting. I don't want no problem. Don't nobody make no dial of your boy. I'm chilling. Don't want no smoke. But I can understand that part. But how you going to have this whole supernatural thing, right? And then the only glimpse, like, I had to rewind this because in the corner of my screen, there's a ghost just appears, right? With the theatrical music, you know what I'm saying? And then I'm like, oh, all right, bet. Like, the ghost is about to, you know, scare her or something. Nah, it's just my man's coming back for more torture. You're not gonna close, bro. Like, I get it. I'm respecting that you're not gonna close, but you just coming back for more torture. And then what, the ghost? So what, the ghost just gonna be chilling there until next week when the pink open back up?
I don't think I need ghosts in my fucking show. In this show. This show that was about like money and about real estate and about like murder and shit like that. I don't need no ghosts, man. Also, I don't need no full on music video intro for a nigga that we don't know.
Yo, I thought that shit was weird.
I was like, yo, who is this guy? I'm trying to remember who he was in season one. And I realized he's nobody. He's a new character. Well, I need the whole Rick Ross intro for him.
I guess from a technical standpoint, then that's lazy to us, right? Instead of figuring out a way to introduce this character and show us that, yo, he most likely probably was the man before Lil Murder left, right?
Right.
So now, you know, they got to play, I think I'm Big Meech, like all that.
Yeah.
Instead of doing what you should do as a writer, as a producer, as a director, whatever the case may be, they're like, fuck it. We know what niggas want to hear. Play that Rick Ross. They'll know what that means.
Well, that's the other thing I was wondering about. I was like, how much of their budget did they blow on music? Between that song and fucking Beyonce 7-Eleven, everybody else, no wonder they just got a bunch of strippers and not actual actors.
Not old girls in there. Ain't that old girl from Snowfall? Isn't that her with the red hair? Leon's chick. That's her, I think.
No, that's her?
I mean, at first glance, I didn't Google it, but I'm almost positive that's her.
Hold on. Snowfall.
Leon. Yeah, because I'm looking at her. I'm like, oh, she's got to be important then because Wanda. That's Wanda from Snowfall, I think. If Wanda not, then she got Bell. A sister or a cousin.
Played by Gail Bean. Hold on. Wanda Bell, Gail Bean. Gail Bean Wikipedia? IMDb, why not?
New strippers
Okay. Yeah, she's in P-Valley. You're right, bro. She's
Roulette. All right, so, yeah, so I feel like they could have gave her a little more lines than, you know what I mean? For real.
I was actually ready to give her credit for being a pretty good actress for a stripper.
Turns
out she's no wonder she's a fucking she's an actor.
And then the demon chick.
What demon chick?
The one, the voodoo one. The one
Whisper. Who's she? Like, have you seen her in something else?
Nah, not that I can think of.
Her name is Psalms Salazar. Psalms like the Bible. This should be fun.
Like spelled like the Bible?
Yep, like Psalms. Psalms 316 or whatever. Psalms Salazar.
Psalms.
Oh, she's Hispanic. I thought she was white. She on Instagram.
Oh, when I typed Psalms, hold on. Psalms Salazar.
Oh, shit.
A drug trafficker comes up.
Hey. Sub 10,000 on Instagram. Time for the blue check mark. To go to But point being, man, like I'm just like, who are these people, man? Like, what are we doing here?
I think you hit the nail on the head, bro. I was in my mind, I was like, oh, how can I get a Hype Williams joke off? Because it was so dark, right? Like, I feel like they blew the budget, but you uncovered it. They blew the budget. They like, because I think they had some songs in episode one too, right? So, and if they didn't, I know Beyonce's song ain't cheap. Dog. Maybe they Beyonce? Know somebody they can plug in with the Rick Ross song. They can get a little discount, but the Beyonce song, no.
Bro, I'm like, all right, I see where this is going. They clearly didn't spend any money on writing. Overall, man, like this might be at this stage right now, this might be the least favorite show that we've done for this.
Sure
I'd rather watch Lovecraft Country. Here's why. Because Lovecraft Country, whatever was wrong with it, at least it knew what it was and it tried to be what it was. This show all over the map, bro. You don't even know who you are.
I mean, I hear you, but it's like, do I want to watch a bad show with, you know, excuse my ignorance, I apologize, no offense, but do I want to watch a bad show with no TNA, or do I want to watch a bad show with TNA?
Or a bad show with TNA and DNA? It ain't for, all I'm saying is not for me. But we'll continue to watch it because it comes out on Saturday night, so that allows us to review
it. Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass-on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodle's just like, ah, whatever.
Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with the plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox.
ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
Shit, man. All right, let's wrap this thing up with some Michael Che talk, man. All right, so you watched the last three episodes and you're like, you couldn't wait until I watched because you wanted to bring up a certain sketch with me. And as I'm watching, all of them are funny. All of them are funny, but I'm wondering which one was Jerv. Which one did he want to bring up?
The African parent one.
See, that's, you know, the funny thing is someone posted it on Twitter. Just that sketch. That sketch. Okay. And so I watched that already.
Oh,
I'd already seen it, yeah. But it's funny. It's like Taken, only it's it.
I just know that that has to be. I mean, obviously it's a little different. You being a man, but like you have to know some friends or somebody who disappointed their family by dealing with someone. You know what I mean? Like I know people that have dealt with people that I know their parents were like extremely disappointed in.
Wow. Yeah. No. I mean, I could see it definitely happening. I just thought it was just funny, man. This nigga said, "I know every African man on the East Coast," and he just mobilized the whole movement and shit.
Yeah, but my nigga kept the phone on. My nigga kept the phone on, and she said, "Yo, I'm about to join you in the shower." Okay, daddy. I'd be hurt, bro. I'd have to pull up. I don't care, dog. I'd whip that little nigga's ass.
Because at first he's mad respectful. That's the funny thing. He's like, "Oh, I hate that we had to meet this way," and like, "Oh, I'm your daughter's boyfriend. My name's William." And like, as far as as long as my man goes on and like goes through his whole threatening shit, he's like, "Oh, all right, well then look here, bro." And he can hear the old boy switch up. She be calling me daddy now.
you got 24 hours.
Oh, that shit was too funny, man. So that was a sketch. I thought, you know what I thought you were? The genie sketch, bro.
Oh my god. Yo, so did you see someone said something and asked, that's just a wild sketch. I don't know what to say.
He said, "Yeah, yo, genie, kill all of these motherfuckers." Like, "Your wish is my command. But you know what you got to do, right?"
Yo, they said, "Yo, you know how he got all that shit? He probably sucked that genie's dick." And then the genie just came out. Yo, he's a genie. Yo, you are correct. You said it after the first round of reviews.
Yeah.
I really do think that, you know, I'm caught up in the moment because a lot of these sketch shows are way back in the day.
Yeah.
Outside of Chappelle, man, if he can produce another season like that, I think he's easily got the second best sketch show, like easily.
Yeah, I think the one thing is like it's six episodes at a time. So it's like niggas not killing themselves, you know, or at least they're not killing themselves to put out content. Like I think Chappelle show was like, how many episodes of Chappelle show was in a season?
Probably like 10 or 12.
No, it was more than that, bro. It was more than 10. Here we go.
Really?
2004. 12 episodes in season one, 13 okay. episodes in season two.
Okay.
Right. So it's like, you know, they put in work.
That's four seasons for my for the Michael Che show right
now. Yeah, that's four seasons worth, right. I, you know, in that. So, you know, and then if you go to Key and Peele, which, you know, I think we were both kind of like 50-50 on, like some they had their moments, but.
No, oh, I, no, no, no. They did not have their moments for me,
bro. Oh, you don't,
I actually cannot stand.
No, I can't. I don't like a lot of their shit, but they had some funny ones, bro.
The Obama skit was funny.
No, how about the one with the gay wedding? Where it's like,
I've seen that.
That one's one of the, that one's probably their best one. Where it's like, because they had a lot of celebrities in doing cameos, and they had my man Lieutenant Daniels was in there. They had Romney Marco was in it. Like it was so. The premise is they've got a family member who's gay, who's getting married, and so one of them has a gay coworker. They called him in and said, "Hey man, like we're invited to cousin so and so's wedding. Like we've never been to a gay wedding." So they ask him a bunch of questions like, yo, is it like now which one of them is the man? Like just mad questions. It's mad funny, bro. Like I'm telling, because all the questions are ridiculous. It's like, oh wait, hold on, let's see.
Yo, I always thought they were like the tap dancing dudes. I can't stand them too. Like I think what you call is cool now. Whatever the one that does us and all them.
Yeah.
The other boy's corny to me though. The tall dude, whatever.
Yeah. I don't know which one is which, but yeah.
I think that's Kay. Is that his name? Key? I think that's Key because Peel is the
yeah.
I only know Peel because he's the director dude now.
So he goes like this: Cousin Delroy is getting married to a man, which is crazy. And everybody in the room nods. Says, none of us are gay, so I would assume we would all sit in the straight section, right? He's like, there's no straight section, there's no gay section. He's like, oh, okay. And he thinks a little taking notes. Like, when in the ceremony do we sing Over the Rainbow? I'm nervous because I can only do jazz hands for like 3 minutes before my Now, can we see the pony show from the straight section, or are we way in the back somewhere? Where do you get the euros to buy gifts? When do we sing YMCA?
That's so funny, actually.
When do we sing the gay hymns? Like there are no gay hymns. There's no gay hymns in the ceremony. There are no gay hymns. Do we throw something other than rice? What would you throw? I don't know. Couscous? Skittles? Dog, look it up. Gay wedding advice. It's legit like one of their best ones, man. That one and the one where my man is sitting there and his girl is like asking, you know, the one where he's sweating.
Oh, so I only know that one because it's the meme.
The meme, but like you've never seen the sketch?
Nah. Like, yo, I don't think they're funny at all. Like,
they're not. But like I said, they have their moments. I'm gonna give props where props should do. Like they had their moments. Like that one is like a dude with his girl. She's like, she's about to. Okay, can I use your laptop? And he starts sweating. And he's like. Like, what? Damn, what's wrong? I was like, no, nothing. I was like, wait a minute, what are you watching porn on there? And then he said something harder. And she's like, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, everyone watches porn. I watch porn. It's not like it's like that crazy porn, right? And then he said something harder. And she's like, oh, you know, sometimes you want to push boundaries and like kind of explore sexuality. There's nothing wrong with that. It's like, as long as like not anything with like animals or anything. Like every time she's like trying to make him feel better, she says something.
I think I have seen it. It's just funny, man.
Like
that, yeah.
I won't lie. They've got like, to me, I've always felt like the sketches they had that are funny aren't necessarily around being black. They're just funny for being funny. Right? Like advice about how to go to a gay wedding. With the dude, like the one where they're trying to figure out how they came up with the script for Gremlins 2. Because Gremlins 2 has a crazy ass script, bro. Like, it's insane. And so they just imagine like the writer's room is like, what if we had this? Like, no, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, let's do this. All right, that's in the movie. And it's all shit that's actually in the movie. The shit that's trash, that thing that you and I see eye to eye on this being trash, is shit where like where it's like, yo. Niggas talk like this, nigga. Yeah, son. That like anytime they try to do black shit,
yeah.
I always find it to be that some tap dancing shit. I'm with you. That's the tap dancing shit. But when they do shit that's not that, it's just, let me just be funny for the sake of fun. It's actually not bad, man.
Was that a Fox show?
What?
Was that a Fox show?
No, no, that was Comedy Central.
Oh, okay. Oh. Comedy Central.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, I'll give them props for props is due, but like a lot of their shit was kind of corny.
Nah, I'm
listen to this. Listen to this description for an episode. Two black men on their cell phones adopt more urban mannerisms when they see each other. Two friends relate anecdotes to one another about how they are each the dominant partner in their relationship. See, I tell her, I said, bitch, that's good. But only when their wives are not around. A contestant on the reality cooking show, Gideon's Kitchen, can't figure out if Chef Gideon. See, that's a funny one. You ever see the cooking show one?
Nah.
Hold on. Like, I'm going to play it for you because it's quick. But okay. It's supposed to be like Hell's Kitchen. And the whole thing is like you can't tell whether the Gordon Ramsay likes it or doesn't like it. There we go.
Come forward. Chef, this is a chicken quiche with cremini mushrooms, baby spinach, and feta cheese.
They taste it.
Unbelievable. Audra, I have a huge problem with this dish. It's that you haven't made it for me sooner. Thank you, Chef. Because if you had, Drew, then I would know how good you are at cooking food that's bad. Sorry, Chef. When I say bad, I mean Michael Jackson bad. Thank you, Chef. You know how he looked really, really bad at the end of his life? Chef, I'm sorry. I don't know if you like the dish or not. You don't know if I like the dish or not? Well, let's put it this way. Pack your knives, get out, you're off the show. Sorry, Chef. Because you should be working in the finest restaurant in the world. Thank you, Chef. Just not any world that I live in. In conclusion,
so you're saying, like, it's like that shit had nothing to do with being black, and to me, that shit's funny. Like, the whole idea is like the nigga can't figure out like whether he likes the shit or he don't like this shit. Said, because you're really good at cooking bad food bad. By bad, I mean like Michael Jackson bad. You know, like how he looked really bad at the end of his life. Like, this up and down shit. They're good at that shit, man. But like a lot of this other shit, here's another one. A street rapper loses a battle rap to President Obama. A Yo Mama champion meets with a doctor about his mother's health, right? Two men yell catcalls at oncoming women, right? Two slaves on an auction block become agitated as they are continually passed over from being bought. Robbers, yeah, like two hyped up frat brothers brand their fraternity's letters into each other's body, right? A riot breaks out in residential black neighborhood, buy into a TV news contract, whatever. Like, it's all dumb shit like that, man, that I thought wasn't funny. But like, their actual shit, like the shit that's not anything to do with being black, not bad, man. I fucks with it.
I ain't no hater. Congratulations to them two gentlemen. But if you ever want me to get the hell out your house, throw that show on and I will gladly leave because I'm not watching any of that shit.
I'm with you, Derp. Here's the thing. I'm with you. I didn't like that show. But I'm telling you, I can send you some sketches that you're going to be like, that shit was funny. That shit was funny. Like, I'll send you three of them that I could tell, like, okay, that shit was funny. Like, no matter, and I hate their shit, but that shit was funny. But yeah, Michael Che, man, like, the finding your root shit that he did, and he finds out that everybody, see the metrics say that there's usually one bitch nigga for every five niggas in a family. But in your family, it's more like 12 bitch niggas for every five real niggas. I don't know what kind of metrics those are.
Yo, he found out everybody in his family is pretty much like was just like detrimental to like the black community.
That is great, 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 great grandmother led the slaves from Canada down to Mississippi. Wait, why would slaves want to go back to Mississippi? They didn't. She threatened them with a rifle.
That's wild.
Anyways, check out the Michael Che show, that damn Michael Che on HBO Max if you haven't. It's real funny. That's going to do it for us here next week. Like I said, we'll continue with this P-Valley abomination, as well as taking any whatever requests you guys have, shit that happens during the week. Shoot us a text or a tweet. Let us know. Say, hey, you guys need to talk about this on Bob. Really appreciate that. For Black Trey, for Big Jerv, it's your boy Amino Hassan telling you to stay black, motherfucker.